It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
Oh boy, how we do it, faithful. The highs and the lows of being a 49ers fan is just never ending. You have signed up for the roller coaster ride of a lifetime. It's just what it is. And just as you think things are great, they can't get better. And oh, the 49ers are about to get so many players back from injury. Just wait and see. They giveth and they taketh away. Nick Bosa, if you have not heard yet, I'm sure you have, has a torn ACL, which I was wrong about. I really didn't think that it was just based on the comments from Kyle, but I didn't listen to my own axiom, which is never trust Kyle Shanahan on any injury news ever. That is the core tenet. This is episode 1517, and I disregarded my own core tenet, which is Kyle Shanahan, you can't believe him. You can't believe him with anything with injuries. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Forever, ever. And ever, ever, and ever. Nick Bosa's out for the remaining season. This is not the same knee that he tore his ACL in 2020. It's just a total loss. Don't know what else to say. Like, the 49ers are not 3-0 without Nick Bosa. I'll be really honest with you. The 49ers might be 1-2. If they didn't have Nick Bosa those first two games. Like, the impact that he has on this team is gigantic. He was the number two player on our countdown series of 1 through 90, most important player for, you know, the 2025 season. And so far, the 49ers have played two games without number one, Brock Purdy. They're going to have to play the rest of the season without number two, Nick Bosa. Juwan Jennings was a top 10 player. George Kittle was a top six player. Like, good gosh, this is just, it's heartbreaking, you know, like, but you got to find a way. Nobody feels bad for you. And we can feel bad for ourselves and the team and whatever else, but you still got to show up and you still got to fight. And other teams, yeah, they're down players too. Are they as bad as the 49ers? The 49ers went into week three with the third most amount of players on injured reserve, 12. This now bumps it to 13. The Cardinals, who you just beat, they had 14 players. Now, did they have players like Nick Bosa or Brandon Ayuk or George Kittle or Brock Purdy on those places? No. But no other team besides maybe the Eagles has the amount of blue chip players that you have. Now, you're down several of them, but you still have plenty. And so nobody is going to feel sorry for the 49ers. Nobody's going to play the 49ers any less difficult. I do want to go over some trade scenarios and some replacement types, but it's not going to be like, this is still the same 49ers front office that has talked about getting cheaper and building with youth, young and cheap, young and cheap, young and cheap. That's what it is. So the idea of going out for a Trey Hendrickson, I'm sorry, it doesn't make sense for the 49ers. It sure as hell doesn't make sense for the Cincinnati Bengals at this point. We'll talk about all of those. I want to say thank you to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, David Gill, all the hashtag CCs. Yeah, it, yesterday was a celebration. If you joined us, I appreciate all the kind words. I know we kind of let loose a little bit yesterday, but we got a lot of positive remarks on that. And, you know, usually I don't like to bring the four-letter words and all that out there, but we were celebrating. But the celebration was so short-lived. Now, in football, you know, as a coach, as a player, you got 24 hours. You enjoy a win for 24 hours, and you bury it, no matter how bad or how good it was. You move on to the next one. we didn't even get to enjoy the full 24 hours. We made it about 20, and then you get this news. Now, Nick Bosa is 28. He's only 28 years old. Nick Bosa is signed all the way through 2028. With this injury happening in September, you usually have a nine-month timeline. 9 months from now, he's going to be ready by training camp. That's the good news. And not only is he going to be ready by training camp, he has three more years after 2025 on his deal. He's not even a top, you know, six, seven paid defensive end, edge rusher anymore. That contract is not going anywhere. Now, the hope was Nick Bosa would be elite. Then you'd restructure his deal after the 2025 season, because you start to get some of those balloon payments. Next year's cap hit, $42 million. 2027 cap hit, $52 million. Then the last year, 2028, $42 million. So the goal was Nick Bosa would be Nick Bosa. Then you'd extend and add some years because he's only signed through his age 30 season. He'll be 30 years old at the start of, I'm sorry, he'll be 31 at the start of 2028. I misspoke there. That doesn't happen now with this injury. You don't do that because you want him to come back. You want to see, you want to let him play, and then you'd extend him the following season. He signed through year 10. Nick Bosa, long-term, great. 2025, major, major, major hit, major. And I was wrong yesterday. I did not think it was a torn ACL, but I was wrong. I trusted Kyle Shanahan, and I say all the time, don't do it. And it got me. What's up, Yacek? Appreciate you guys. Yeah, rough day. Rough day. So y'all let me know how you feel. Let's talk to it. We'll get it. It is a sad day, Alejandro. Right here, Big Papa. Doing fine. Looking forward to when the experienced players get back in the mix. Bosa will be back. Like, this isn't the end. And for people that are like, man, we should have never signed him. Nah, you should have signed him. And you did right. And you've gotten your return on the money. He's been great. He's been one of the best players in the NFL year in and year out, even if you count the 2020 injury and the 2025 injury. You still have gotten, good Lord, what, five incredible years, six incredible years. You're not 3-0 without Nick Bosa right now at all. It sucks. It absolutely sucks. Now, who are you traded for? So let's talk about this, and I'm already behind in the chat. Shocker. I don't expect a big trade. And Drew, I'm with you. I doubt they make a big trade. And I doubt it's going to be like, I think you pick up the phone and you call some teams. Hey, are you interested? Hey, teams are not selling week three, even if you're 0-3. And Trey Hendrickson, who a lot of people keep throwing out there, the Bengals are in first place, ladies and gentlemen. I know Joe Burrow's hurt, but they have one of the highest paid, highest faith in, you know, backup quarterbacks. I know they just played a bad game. They're in first place. They're 2-1. They have the cheapest owner in the world. They're not selling a guy that just held out and he caved last minute. They're 2-1. First place teams are not selling talent. It's not. Now, maybe the Bengals lose four straight and they're 2-5, you know, a month from now, then that conversation could happen. But teams that are in first place do not sell best in talent, period. I get that he's on an expiring contract. I understand that. Is he younger? No. Is he cheaper? No. You're still going to have to pay that dude, even if you get the Bengals to swallow a lot of that salary. I just don't see it now. Now, maybe if they lose four or five straight, then you can have that conversation, but that's a 5 weeks out. First place teams don't sell talent. And the Cincinnati Bengals are stupid, but they're 2-1 and in first place. They're not selling. They are not. And even if you look at, you know, the teams that are out there that are 0-3, you're fighting for your job. Like, okay, the Miami Dolphins, that is a very good fit. Now, they run a multiple whatever set up front, and they're trying to do that 3-4 outside stuff. But, like, they've got guys, Bradley Chubb, not younger, not cheaper. But, like, yeah, sure. But their coach is fighting for their damn job. So you have to have a general manager who's also fighting for their job say, hey, we're going to build for the next coach, the next GM. No. Now, once a few coaches and GMs get fired, then yes. Now, no. Now, no. And even Mike McDaniel, who is 0-3 with the Dolphins, that dude's not selling. they just had a great Thursday night moral victory where they came out and played close with whatever. But like, until these guys get fired, like people are talking about the Giants. Dude, Daboll and that GM, Joe Schoen, they should have been fired years ago. Some of the worst coaching, whatever. Why would they sell? They traded future first for a quarterback, like idiots. Gosh, that owner is just so stupid. Just so dumb. If you watch that Russell Wilson game, like that dude bet on the game. Russell Wilson bet on the game, and they're still not benching him. Like that dude threw the performance in the fourth quarter. They wouldn't have won anyway, but I'm fully convinced. Like, Russell Wilson had to throw that game. But it just speaks to how dysfunctional that franchise is. If they start trading Kayvon Thibodeau, who I would love to get, those guys are fired within 5 minutes. So you have to wait for them to be completely fired and let go. So then you look at them and you're like, all right, New York Giants are 0-3. What's it going to take for them to get to that point? They play the Chargers next. That's 0-4. But then they play the Saints. Might win that game. Right? Like, you've got to look at teams that have given up on the season. No team at 0-3 has given up on the season. Not one. Not one. Not one team has. You have to wait. Now, you might be able to get some, we want your third or fourth defensive end. But that ain't going to move the needle. That's not there. That's not there. Sean, appreciate the super chat, my friend. It's W's on Sundays and L's on Monday season. Again, it's getting old. The San Francisco Frick Niners. Yes, it's bad, man. It is bad. And it's just like, man, why can't we have nice things? Why can't we have nice things? It sucks. 40 hours throwback. His ACL injury wasn't as bad as the 2022 season. Diana reported less severe and a better recovery. Yeah, and that's why there's a little there. So you could tear your ACL. There's a complete tear. Then, like, the worst ACL injury you could ever have, you look at Brandon Ayuk, where you tore all three, ACL, MCL, your meniscus. Like, everything is just deconstructed. This, the fact that, again, we're going off of what Kyle Shanahan said, I didn't get to see the knee check and the blue tint. I hate that they brought that blue tint out, but makes sense and it's more humane. But, like, there's something, it could be partially torn, but if you go out there and it's partially torn, it's going to be torn completely, whatever. And we kind of went through the same thing with the UCL and Brock Purdy, right, in the elbow. Like, there's ways to look at this. Not all injuries are the same. But an ACL tear, you can't play on, especially when you're 260, 6'5", have no body fat, and you plan off that outside leg all the time. But, yeah, three total ACLs. Yeah, he's had two to one leg and one to the other. Not good, not good, not good, not good, not good. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Now, I played Prize Picks for over three seasons straight, and my favorite thing about it is just how easy it is. You pick more or less on 2-6 stat projections. If you get the picks right, you cash in. It's that easy. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40-plus states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Some of the early week one things that you could put in on: Saquon Barkley, more or less than one rushing touchdown. Joe Burrow, more or less than 2.5 touchdowns. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. You want to focus on 49ers? Guess what? They've got it loaded on there. Brock Purdy, more than 12 or less than 12 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, 71.5 rushing yards, more or less. You pick two, you get it right, you get paid. Download the app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Imagine a way to travel that feels personal, comfortable, and connected without the price tags and the sterile feeling of hotels or short-term rentals. That's exactly what Kindred provides. And whenever I think about traveling, like, I want it to feel like personal, effortless. Whenever I go on the road for all the 40 hours rush road trips, I've got so many things on my mind. Where I stay, I don't want to be one of them.
So Kindred is a members-only home swapping network. It isn't a hotel. It isn't a short-term rental. It's a smarter way to travel where each stay feels like home. Plus, with Kindred, your home's your ticket. You earn hosting credits from fellow members and then use those credits to stay in over 220,000 homes in 100 cities worldwide. And if you apply now at livekindred.com and use code 49ers to join for free, you'll earn 5 nights of travel credit just for signing up. That's livekindred.com, code 49ers. Livekindred.com, code 49ers.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
40 hours so bad. John, I see Lynch drafting another defensive end in the draft. The reason being is because you can't ever have enough pass rush. Thank God for that trade for Bryce Huff. That's huge. That is, oh man. Dude's been great in the run game. I think your starters now, Mikael Williams, he stays starter. And I think Sam O snaps went through the roof. I think did he have more? Let me pull this up here. I got it right here. So if we're looking at just snap count for this game, right? So Mikael Williams, who missed some time, had 43 snaps at defensive end. Sam O had 42. Bryce Huff had 36. And, you know, Sam O is your all-purpose guy. He had 20 run defense snaps, 21 pass rush snaps. Then you look at Bryce Huff, he had 28 pass rush snaps, 8 run game snaps. So your all-purpose guys are Sam O and Mikael Williams. Those are your all-purpose guys. You're hoping Etur Gross-Matos could get some more snaps. He had another 22 snaps, playing a little bit more consistent. And you've got guys that you can call up. You know, we talked about this on the reaction show yesterday. But Robert Beal, you call Robert Beal up. And, you know, nobody replaces Nick Bosa. He's a top 5 defensive end any way you want to look at it in the NFL. You don't have another top 5 defensive end on this roster. There's not a top 5 defensive end available in free agency. There is not. Robert Beal, he can help in the run game. Travis Gibson, man, he could do some stuff on the outside. But it's not great. It's just not great. There's not a Nick Bosa in the cupboard. It's not. And so, yeah, I could definitely see them drafting another one. Charlie, you can't replace his IQ. Bosa isn't just an edge rusher. He's all-around great defensive end. We've been making that claim here for a very, very long time. Yacek, we were light in terms of pass rushers with Bosa. What do we do now? This is how you built the roster. You did not build veteran depth across really any place besides linebacker and safety. That's it. You don't have veteran depth at corner. You don't have veteran depth across the defensive line. You don't have veteran depth on the offensive line. You don't have veteran depth at the wide receiver room. You do have veteran depth at the quarterback position. Mac Jones, that came through. So, like, you were spotty. When you go younger, cheaper, this is what it is. Now, Mikael Williams has paid dividends. He's been worth the first, you know, the number 11 overall. Mikael Williams, if you would have took Mikael Williams at 2 overall and you got this performance, damn, you took Mikael Williams at number 1 overall. You wouldn't be upset with what he's done so far. You really would not. You really would not be upset. Like, you have gotten value out of Mikael Williams, but you need more. Flynn, why can't we just have nice things? Yeah, I'm with you. Drew, Jalen Phillips from the Dolphins. I would love Jalen Phillips from the Dolphins. Again, no teams are selling. Now, you're worried about injuries. Jalen Phillips is maybe the most injured defensive end in the entire NFL. I think that he is absolutely crazy amazing. I don't know why he's not pulling up on this damn site. There we go. Jordan Phillips. No, it's Jalen Phillips. He ain't pulling up on here. Why don't they have one? Does he spell it weird? Is he one of those guys that spells it weird? I think he is. Let me see here. Yeah, he's not pulling up on Over the Cap. Come on now.
Does he spell? I need to go back to my, yeah, Jaylen, J-A-E, and sorry about that. That's why I couldn't find him. J-A-E, in. So Jaylen Phillips, edge. Let's look at his contract. So, like, everything has to come down to those two things. He's on the last year of his deal, Jaylen Phillips is. So that makes it a possibility. He is younger. He's 26 years old. But again, dude's been injured. Achilles popped, ACL. I mean, this dude retired from football and college at UCLA. But, dude, you can get him or Bradley Chubb. You do it in a heartbeat. But they're not selling, right? I would love that. I like him more than Kayvon Thibodeau. Kayvon Thibodeau, a little bit of a head case. A little bit of a head case. I would love that one right here. What about the rookie defensive end, Giants Thibodeau or whatever his name is? Again, nobody's trading a rookie, top five pick. You can't get Abdul Carter. Now, Thibodeau is a possibility. And again, if I could figure out how to spell these guys' names, that's always the problem. Yeah. Dang it. This is so frustrating. There we go. Kayvon Thibodeau. He's not in the last year of his deal. So that is a little bit of a problem. Next year, he's still 14.7 because they picked up his fifth-year option. That's kind of hard. And again, you can't do it until Daboll and Joe Schoen, those clowns, are thrown out of the freaking team, which will happen. They are going to be dismissed. They will be fired because they're just the worst. Just look at Daniel Jones. You look at freaking McKinley. You look at freaking Saquon, you go on and on and on and on. They will be fired and you're still sticking with Russ. Like, just so stupid, man. Just, there's some bad teams out there. They're one of them, but they're not selling right now. Yeah, they're 0-3, but they are not selling right now. Danielle Hunter, again, another possibility, but I'm telling you right now, Danielle Hunter is amazing, by the way. Like, I wish you could get him. He's one of the most expensive players in the NFL. Houston is 0-3. Houston is 0-3. But, yeah, Danielle Hunter, let's see where he's at. There he is, Danielle Hunter, edge. How much longer does he have on his deal? Because, you know, he's older. He's 31 years old. Nah, they're not trading him. Well, next year is his last year, but they have a $20.4 million void year on him in 2027. That's going to be a rough contract to kind of get out in front of. Ugh. Yeah, team would have to take on a lot of money. You're talking $20 million. I don't see that, guys. The best places to look aren't these seasoned vets. It's guys in the last year of their rookie deal. So you're looking for second through seventh rounders that were drafted in 2022. Now, the problem with that is that draft sucked. And the one guy that kind of you would want to go after just got one of the biggest paydays in the NFL, Nick Bonito. You need those guys that are on expiring rookie deals. That's what the 49ers go out and acquire. Look at Sky Moore. It doesn't matter. You can go down the list. But it doesn't mean you can't go to those other guys. Yeah, I'd like Danielle Hunter, but that one, the contract just says no way, Jose. The Niners are not in a place financially to do that one. And again, you know, we keep talking about these older guys, Carl Granderson, maybe Cam Jordan. Cam Jordan's my favorite player that's not a 49er. I would love that. I think Cam Jordan would rather retire, I'm speaking for him now, than ever wear a jersey other than the Saints. He is the most loyal, committed to that city, committed to that team through I don't know how many head coaches. Like, he's back because he loves the city. I don't think, now you make the call, hey, we'd like to have Cam Jordan. Now, is Cam Jordan great at age 32 or, you know, whatever he is? No. And when we played him, he wasn't really even a factor, but he's still very, very good. But yeah, like I just, you call and you try. But I Cam Jordan ain't going to play for anybody else. Carl Granderson has one. He has two more years on his deal after this. He's 29 years old, $18 million cap hit next year, $18 million cap hit 2027. No, that's not, that doesn't work the books. Doesn't work the books. And again, you got a brand new head coach there in Kellen Moore. Why are we going to sell Carl Granderson, who's part of our rebuilding philosophy for the next three seasons? No. Has to make sense for the 49ers. Has to make sense for the cap. Has to make sense for the player. Has to make sense for the team trading him away. It's a quadrilateral, baby. And if you don't get the four check marks, it ain't happening. This ain't Madden. This isn't the NBA. There's no Nico freaking Harrison's dumbass out there that, you know, selling premium real estate for pennies on the dollar. Those things just are not out there. I would love Granderson. I would love Cam Jordan. Financially, Granderson doesn't make sense. For the Saints, Granderson doesn't make sense. Cam Jordan makes sense, but man, I just know that dude. If they told him, hey, Cam, we're thinking about trading you, he says, I retire. He's like, I'm retiring right now. I'm not wearing their jersey. Like, did you hear what he said with the Niners? Talked about the Niners fans. You know what I mean? Like, that's part of it. That's part of it. That dude is awesome. Sean, what's up, man? Appreciate the super chat. I think if we do anything, it'll be at the trade deadline. You've got to wait for teams to quit and start rebuilding. No team is doing that now. You look at every single 0-3 team, okay? You've got the Jets, the Dolphins, Texans, Titans, Giants, Saints. Six. They're six undefeated. They're six defeated. All right? The NFL is always about balance. Perfectly balanced, as all things in life should be, right? Like, yeah, six undefeated, six defeated. No team that is 0-3 is selling the farm. And then whenever you look at new coaches, right? Saints, Kellen Moore. They're not selling any future pieces. Expiring contracts, cool. D'Amico Ryans, not even close to a hot seat. He's won playoff games every single year he's there. Tennessee Titans, relatively, you know, new coach. Not relatively. You got a newer coach, and you've got a young quarterback. You're not selling future pieces. The Jets, new coach, competitive. They're not selling future pieces. The Dolphins, maybe. The Dolphins and the Giants, those are your teams. Those are the ones you're looking for. You got to have this. So if you're in the hole, let's trade for a brand new defensive end. You are rooting against the Miami Dolphins and the New York Giants. Those are the two teams. Now, what about the 1-2 teams? They could be there. The Patriots, no. Brand new coach, new young quarterback. They're not trading future assets. The Browns, that team is such a damn disaster. I don't even know if I'd answer the call if they call. Maybe. Raiders are 1-2. Nope. They're in win now with Pete Carroll, oldest coach. The Broncos, nope. Chiefs, nope. Dallas Cowboys, disaster, nope. Chicago Bears, new coach, nope. Not trading future assets. Panthers, I don't think so. Falcons, ooh. I mean, they traded a future first for a pass rusher. They already talking about moving Zach Robinson, their OC. They're moving him up to the booth, down on the field, all that stuff. That's the kiss of death. I'm telling you right now, the two teams you want, the two teams that make sense, Miami Dolphins, New York Giants. You start there. That's where all 4 points align, and then try to find those players. And, yeah, worth calling. I'm not saying don't call on Trey Hendrickson. I'm just saying play Mike Brown's role, the owner. Hey, Mike Brown, first place, 2-1. Congratulations on the season. Hey, do you want to trade your best defensive player even though you're in first place of your division? Oh, no? Shocker. Like, come on. Oh, that's like people say, well, Brock Purdy's hurt, and now Nick Bosa's hurt, so maybe we should trade Fred Warner. Maybe we should trade. Now, Fred Warner's different. I get that. Or Trent Williams. You know what? It's last year of his deal. You know what? Maybe we should trade Trent Williams. You see what I'm saying? Why? We're in first place. Back the hell up. We're buying players. We're buyers, not sellers. And I understand Jacob Browning, whatever, they have way too much confidence in him. But for the Bengals, they're having the best start to their season that they've had in 5 seasons. They're not selling, guys. Maybe they will. Maybe they will. Yeah, I don't know. Let's see here. DJ says, someone posted this stat from the game. 49ers defense had 22 pressures on Kyler Murray. I don't know about that or what they're going from. You know, I pull it up. Yeah, we had 22 pressures. Way to go, DJB. 22 registered pressures on Kyler Murray, with 21 of those happening after Bosa went off the field. Bosa didn't play much. He played 14 snaps. 7 of those were pass rushes, and he had one of those pressures. So, yeah, 21 of those pressures came from non – pressure wasn't the problem. And if you watched our episode previewing it, I said they have the worst guards in the NFL. They have a horrible tackle. They have two quality offensive linemen, their center and their left tackle, Paris Johnson. Paris Johnson was a scratch late. yeah, they put out four of the worst offensive linemen. Bad offensive line play is a very, very real thing in the NFL. A very, very real thing. Now, I want to talk about the 49ers' replacement for Bosa and what it's going to look like on the roster currently. We've talked about trades, but let's get to what the practical replacement option is now, right after this.
You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go.
Now, if you did bet with us this week, three positive weeks in a row, baby. We made a lot of money week one. We made decent money week two. We made a little bit of money last week. If you bet with us, we went 9 for 13 on our bets. And if those damn Packers didn't suck, we would have had a great, great week. But we increased your bankroll 16% based on what you bet last week. We post our bets every single Friday or Saturday for the upcoming week. And, man, another huge positive. The ones we missed on, Ricky Pearsall touchdown. We missed on that one. And Mac Jones over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Those were the ones we missed on that were 49ers bets. And those stupid, stupid Packers. Just make your damn field goal. Anyway, that's what it is. So, the replacement options in-house. Base downs, your starters. Mikael Williams, that is a change. Sam O, he's your all-around kind of power-style defensive end. He's going to be out there. Now, the best defensive end the 49ers have is Bryce Huff. Bryce Huff will be the guy that comes in for every single pass rush situation, whatever else. The problem the Niners are going to have is finding that additional pass rusher on the outside. You've been kicking Etur Gross-Matos, Mikael Williams, and even Sam O inside. You need a pass rusher on the outside. That is the biggest need in replacing Bosa. You have the Buck-style ends, right? That's like what Texas calls him, and a lot of teams will call him is like, dude, this is our run stuffing power defensive end. Sam O fits that. Mikael fits that. Like you, Robert Beal fits that. You need more pass rush defensive end help. So it won't be shocked if they keep Etur Gross-Matos outside. And now is the time to start bringing in one of the defensive tackles in that NASCAR package. Everywhere Robert Saul has ever been, 49ers for his first, you know, four seasons, the Jets for four seasons, now back with us. He's had three defensive ends and one defensive tackle in the NASCAR package, but this is the first year where he goes four straight defensive ends. I think you lose that now. I think you try to get one of the and Kalia Davis might be the best at it, to be honest with you. I'm not the biggest Kalia Davis guy. His mistakes in the run game continue. Consistency in the run game, just can't stay in his run gap, but he has the explosiveness. He's that penetrating style DT. Maybe you put him out there. Maybe you put CJ West out there a little bit more. So I wouldn't be shocked if the NASCAR package evolves back to what it used to be, where you have three DNs and one DT. But you call up Robert Beal. He gives you that rotation in the run game, but man, you need a pass rusher. You need a pass rusher. That's kind of what you've got to do. And so I don't think that you find that answer for a few more weeks. Again, you got to get teams to give up. You got to. And, you know, I put this out on Twitter. Robert Saleh has the opportunity to paint a masterpiece right now. We saw it in 2020. Everybody went down. Everybody was hurt, except for Fred Warner. He never gets hurt. Knock on wood.
he never gets hurt, but still had a top 10 defense. And that's what got him hired as a head coach eventually, because you had all those injuries and Robert Saleh was still able to get freaking Kerry Hyder Jr. with close to double digit sacks. You know what I mean? Like, you need somebody to step up. I'm betting pretty big on Sam Moe. Now, is he ever going to be the guy that gets those 10 plus sacks or whatever? No, that's not his game, but you can get the pressures. He's solid versus run game, elite effort, amazing team guy. I think that that's a big deal. But, man, this defense, you've already got the rookie stepping up. You already got the rookie stepping up. And the play that you almost got the safety on Kyler Murray, you had three rookies and Sam Moe out there. You had Alfred Collins. Yeah, you had C.J. West. You had Mikael Williams. You had Sam Moe. You didn't even have Bryce Huff out there, and you almost got it. So, man, go out there and just show the world. Like, what were the reasons why I kept saying all offseason why the 49ers could have a successful season? Coaching. Coaches don't get hurt. And if they do, like McVay, you still coach, right? I think he blew something out in his leg. He got rolled up on the sideline a couple weeks ago, but all injuries suck. But like, he still coaches, right? You've got Saleh, you've got Shanahan. Both of those guys have coached their asses off through 3 weeks. Without either one of them, you're not 3-0. The second great thing you have is blue chip players. And yeah, you're losing those. The five blue chip guys that you have on your roster, you're down two. George Kittle and Nick Bosa, down. But you still got Trent Williams. You still got Fred Warner. You still got CMC. That's three potential Hall of Famers. Trent Williams is a Hall of Famer. Fred Warner will be a Hall of Famer. CMC, man, if he has this year, if he continues with the statistics that he's doing all year, dude, Christian McCaffrey needs two more of these years to be a quote-unquote Hall of Famer. But, like, dude, this guy right now has he's got 25 receptions for 213 yards. Receiving. He's got almost 400 yards from scrimmage through 3 weeks. Can he maintain that? I don't know. But when Ayuk gets back, DeMarcus Robinson's back, when Kittle gets back, like, that can help alleviate just freaking focusing so much on Pearsall. You got two receiving options out there, man. Like, that is hard, but this team is equipped. And so, again, and the third thing that I keep saying though, why this year would be successful is the schedule. You're not playing murderer's row out there. You're just not. The schedule is beyond friendly. Still the easiest schedule. You got the Jaguars this week. All right, cool. Rams, probably toughest game on your schedule. Rams are the best team on your schedule. Falcons, yeah, not great. Texans, not great. Giants, awful. Rams, again, super tough. Cardinals, super tough. Panthers, not great. Browns, great defense, not great. Titans, not great. Colts, good Lord. Indiana Jones doing some work over there, man. That dude's winning comeback player of the year. Like, yeah, I'm putting money on that one. Bears, hot or cold. And then the Seattle Seahawks. Like, dude, if you just beat the teams that have losing records right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's 8 wins. If you just beat the teams with losing records, which is no given at this point, but that's 11 wins. You get 11 wins, you're in the playoffs. Coaching, blue chip players, schedule. It's what it's always been. And you've won two of the more difficult games. The Seattle Seahawks look like a freaking top 10 team in the NFL. They look like a top 5 team in the NFL. You beat them in their house. Cardinals? I don't think that they're a top 10 team, but they're not easy, and they always play us tough, but you've got one of those. So there's a lot of options that are available, and I'm with you. This is not the 2020 roster, and you've got the quarterback position figured out, so much so that even though Brock Purdy hasn't played in 2 weeks, you're 2-0. Mac Jones is that. And so, Joel, I'm not a season-over guy. This schedule, no. It's next man up always. Always. I mean, shoot, look what the Lions did last year. Where's Don Burr at? Don Burr and the freaking Lions, they lost. I think they were down at 1.15 players that started on their defense. Now, do they have a Nick Bosa? No, they don't. But do they have a Fred Warner? No, they don't. Do they have a D'Amador Lenore? No, they don't. Malik Mustafa will return. That is, he's not a blue chip guy yet, but damn, Malik Mustafa, he's the second best player in our secondary as soon as he steps back. It's not over. Yeah, Jed ain't going to spend all that money. He's not. I don't think that they can because of the way the contracts are built for the future. And you're paying $90 million for teams to play for other people. Oh, JP, thank you. Cam Jordan went to college in Berkeley. That is a point. And I missed that one. Maybe I'd come back to the Bay Area, baby. Yeah, Berkeley's right up the road. I'll pick him up from the airport. I have a good time hanging out with Cam Jordan. And yeah, chance at a championship. He's already got one, right? I think he was there. Ooh, I want to know the answer to that because that would change things. Would Cameron Jordan, he came in 2011. No, 8 Pro Bowls. He's on the all-decade team for the 2010s. No Super Bowl. He came after the Katrina Super Bowl and all that stuff. So, yeah. Lawrence, he's playing for Seattle. And he's gone. I love all these questions and hypotheticals. How about Will McDonald? Makes sense. Y'all keep throwing names out there. We'll go through this. Now, McDonald would be good because he is just that pass rusher. The problem with McDonald is he has 2 years left on his deal. He's 26 years old. He signed this year and next year with a fifth-year option. That makes me kind of think I'm not quite sure the Jets would part with him. He hasn't been great. He's got 2 sacks so far this season. Dang, that's actually, yeah, never mind. Yeah, he had 10.5 sacks. I don't think that they'll trade him. To get Will McDonald, you're spending a second round plus. Yeah, I don't know. Ben, who I respect. And disagreements are a great thing, guys. Like, I'm wrong all the damn time. That's okay. We're allowed to disagree, and we still treat each other with respect. Like, we don't have to call each other idiots or whatever else. But like Ben, somebody I respect, he helps the show out all the time. He says, you and I disagree on Hendrickson, John. I think there's a potential path there. What I saw from the last Cincy game was a dire situation. Man, I would love for Trey Hendrickson to come out on a 1-year rental. Would love it. And maybe they go 0-3 or 0-4, then you have that conversation. But that trade ain't happening within the next month. It's not going. You're dealing with the most stubborn, bullheaded owner in the entire NFL, and that's including Jerry Jones. That dude is the cheapest owner in all of sports, and we're going to ask him to eat salary on a guy that drug him through the media mud? Man, I'm sorry. I'm digging in here. Call me Mike Brown or whatever the hell his name is. I don't see it. The Burns contract, no way. You ain't getting Burns. He ain't even on. And plus, he just got banged up, but no way. Burns, not even. God, no. That is a foundational piece that they traded a lot for. You're not getting him. You are getting value. If they get anything, they're getting value. They are not going after top tier, top five, you know, pass rushers on expensive contracts. Younger and cheaper, guys. Now, if a team is ready to sell out on the year, then maybe. But I'm telling you right now, if a trade happens, Miami Dolphins, New York Giants, I'd be willing to bet on it. You find me a prop, I think it's going to be from one of those two teams, assuming they continue losing. Or another one of those 1-2 teams start losing more. No team's given up on the year this so far. But the 49ers are 3-0. And the 49ers have a lot more road trips this year, and I hope you come out with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its 6th year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All All right, we're going to be in Tampa Bay for the next event. We will not be into LA for the Thursday night game. We're going to be partying in Clearwater Beach. So excited at Coco's North Beach. Join us October 11th. And then we have our tailgate right across the street from the stadium. You'll see the giant pirate ship. We're going to be right next to that bad boy. It's as close as you can get to the stadium. Unlimited food, premium drinks. It is one of the coolest tailgates I've ever been a part of, just because they bring such a theatrical aspect to it. We had a really, really good time. So go to the Tick Pick app, search 49ers Rush or the link in the description of this video. And we need help. So if you're going to be in Tampa Bay, come out. We need more workers. We throw a great time and we want to expand our family and our workers in Houston. Good Lord. Frank Gore is going to be partying with us. We're going to be at the Social Beer Garden HTX. Going to be off the charts. Eye of the Niner, Travis King. Houston's going to be bananas, guys. Tampa is going to be fun because I wanted to throw a party on the beach last year and the hurricane came through. So this is something I've wanted to do for years. So I'm super excited about that. I hope you guys come out with us. But yeah, just email us, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to join the team and help us work these events and help other people have a good time, that is where you will reach out to us. So let's talk some grades, because I want to go through this. Let's start with the defensive side. Bryce Huff, one of the trades that you got for pennies on the dollar. You got the Eagles to take their salary. You got that. You gave up almost nothing. Dude's the highest rated player we had, 90.1. Five pressures, only 36 snaps. There's 66 snaps defensively. But, man, he only played eight run snaps. But you're talking back-to-back weeks. We were breaking this down on the 49ersrush.com where, dude, Bryce Huff is good against the run. I know you want to save him as a pass rusher, but you're not losing a lot in the run game when he's out there. But I think they want to preserve kind of what that looks like and get that done. And yeah, Steven says, hey, it's hurricane season. We got backups in Tampa, so we do have a backup facility that we would jump to inland if the weather is bad that week. So we always have a contingency. But thank you, Steven. Don't rain on my parade. I want to party on the beach. I love beaches. Come on, man. I want to party on the beach. Fred Warner continues to be defensive player of the year. And if this defense can continue to have these elite performances with Robert Saleh making it work. Thank you, Steven. You get that done. I'm telling you right now, Fred Warner is going to be a candidate for defensive player of the year. I got like something in my mouth. Sorry about that. Robert Saleh and Fred Warner are about to paint their masterpiece. I don't know if you've ever seen Man on Fire. It's one of my favorite. Ridley Scott, Christopher Walken. You got Denzel Washington. You got Fanny. I mean, amazing, amazing. I've seen it probably 12 times. And like the DEA agent or the Mexican like police officers talking with Christopher Walken. He's like, tell me about your friend Creasy, right? He's like, hey, Christopher, I can't do an impression. I wish I could. He's like, a man could be great at anything. It doesn't matter. It could be painting, could be food, could be whatever. He's like, but just stay out of his way. He's about to paint his masterpiece. And what he's good at is death, right? And so then, you know, Man on Fire, Denzel goes and does what Denzel does. Amazing movie. Absolutely love it. But like Robert Saleh, the reason why he's one of the highest paid DCs isn't because you can coach well with Nick Bosa and D'Amador Lenore and Fred Warner. It's what you could do whenever things are down. And you are 3-0 for several reasons, but what the defense has done in the fourth quarter has been unreal. It has just been unreal. Unreal. So I'm just saying, put faith and why you are here. You have the best defensive player in the NFL. It's Fred Warner. I know he doesn't play a premium position. You have one of the best defensive coaches in the NFL, and Robert Saleh. You're about to get Malik Mustafa back. There is beauty in what is about to take place. There is beauty. I trust Robert Saleh. I trust Fred Warner more than anybody. That dude is just, oh, so freaking good. And yes, this, Steven. Thanks for the super chat. Travis Gibson, dude, go back. We have the tape up. Go back, the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon. Go back to the preseason defensive game tape. It is broken down for you. Watch Travis Gibson.
That dude, the amount of pressures in the pass rush situation, allow Robert Beal to be the run guy. And Travis Gibson, just work him in. 7 to 10 snaps a game, pass rush situation only. Give him a chance. Remember what he did with Kerry Hyder, guys. Kerry freaking Hyder Jr. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Back to the greats, D winners. You know, I asked a question on Twitter. I was like, who are the top five 49ers through 3 weeks? I struggled with only five. I legitimately struggled. And people were like, what about? Like, you've got players that are just playing so damn well consistently. Here was my list, okay? Top five 49ers through 3 weeks. Fred Warner's one. He's my number one. Ricky Pearsall is my number two. He's third in the NFL in receiving yards, by the way. Ricky Pearsall is, like, consistent. Amazing. He's leading the NFL in contested catch yards. Like, it's weird. Ricky Pearsall's whole thing is getting separation. He's not getting separation, but he's getting the damn job done. It's crazy. The two plays where Ricky Pearsall was the most wide open, Mac Jones missed him. And again, you know, early this morning, we did the first half offensive breakdown. That's up on the 49ersrush.com now. Ricky Pearsall should have had 80-plus yards after the first quarter. His best routes, his most separation, his most wide open, both incompletions. Mac Jones missed him. Ricky Pearsall is my number two. Christian McCaffrey is my number three. Not explosive, but just getting the damn job done. Like I said, he has almost 400 total yards through 3 weeks. 25 receptions through 3 weeks as a running back. Trent Williams, number four. And that got Diamador Lenore, number five. But initially, whenever I first did this, I kept going through and just saying, like, man, I typed out Colton McKivitt's name. I typed out Dean Winner's name. I was just like, man, there's so many quality 49ers that are out there that are playing well. Nick Bosa was not on that list. Now, he missed most of this game. Probably would have been. Nick Bosa's incredible. I'm not trying to downplay because he's injured. I know a lot of people will do that. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But I didn't put Mac Jones on there because he didn't play the first game either. But yeah, Mikael Williams, good gosh. I didn't think Mikael Williams was great week one. He was great week two. He was awesome week three. I have no problem with that. Bryce Huff, I didn't put on there. Good gosh. Like, yeah. And so, you know, you look at these different things that are out there. It's just like, dude, you're looking at a list of nine stud players that you could put on that list. Yeah, Ricky Pearsall is on pace for 1,600 yards. He's not going to continue doing what he's doing. I hope that he does. But when Juwan Jennings is back, that's going to take away targets, right? Juwan Jennings got twice as many targets as he did last week. When DeMarcus Robinson comes back, he's going to siphon off a few targets. When Brandon Ayuk gets back, he's going to take targets. When George Kittle gets back, he's like, there's not going to be a lot of games where Ricky Pearsall gets. How many targets did he end on? I have it right here. He had 11 targets. I don't think that's going to continue. Christian McCaffrey had 15. Ricky Pearsall had 11. Kendrick Bourne had 6. I think you want Pearsall at about 8 targets a game. Those numbers are going to start to dip a little bit. But I do, if Ricky stays healthy, 1,000 yards, well, well within, like, realization. Like, yeah, that's quite possible. What's he at now? Let's see here. 281 yards. He's third. Yeah, 281 yards. No touchdowns. Gotta get that touchdown. Come on, man. Come on. So, like, the 49ers have a lot of really, really good players. They're fine. Rob, my man, a lot of doomers in here. Bosa is huge blow, but the sky's not falling. The Niners are 3-0 on top of the division with help on the way. Yes. Got to keep the faith, man. Look at the freaking hat. What do I say at the start and end of every damn show? If you've ever been to a 49ers Rush road trip, every time I'm on the mic, I start the same way. How are we doing, Faithful? Faithful. We are not Cowboys fans. We are not Seahawks fans. We are not those teams. We are different. There's a reason why I wear this damn hat. And yeah, I overreact and I like, and that's okay. You're here, be you. Like, you know, be you. But this is, it's appropriate to be frustrated because we've been so traumatized with all these damn injuries as fans. I mean, we're the most injured team. You look at this decade of the 49ers, the most injured team probably in NFL history ever. Like, it's crazy. But in the past, when Nick Bosa went out, you turned into a middle school defense. That wasn't the case this week. And you're playing against the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, speaking of Cowboys fans, my man David Waller, the sky is falling for the Cowboys. See, we're not like them, right? We are not the same. David Waller is a good friend and Cowboys fan, but he knows. Cowboys, it's you can't get boat raced by the freaking Bears in their first win. And Jay, I'm still loyal and faithful, but I'm not going to be delusional. I keep it. There's nothing wrong with that. Whatever your thing is, but I'm just saying. Oh, yeah, bid. Fun fact, Niners are top of the NFC West. We all know. But we're also, currently after 3 weeks, the NFC number one seed. That's right. We got the most conference wins, 3-0. We have the most divisional wins. Actually, I think the Chargers have the most, but they're AFC. Playoffs were today, you'd have a bye week at home field advantage. We're quite a ways away from that. But you've done everything you needed to do through 3 weeks. Everything that you needed to do through 3 weeks. Guys, this is the last week for our raffle for 2 Rams tickets for week 5. That game might be the most important game on the schedule. It's Thursday night, which I hate. But week 5, October 2nd, we're giving away 2 tickets to SoFi, section 236 with a pink tailgate parking pass. We're going to be announcing the winner of this September 25th at 10 a.m. on this show live. 1 chance for $20, 3 chances for $50. You buy as many as you want. Go to the 49ers.com/Rams. Or you can click the link in the description of this video podcast. All proceeds are going to our man, Bruno, the stud 3-year-old fighting through leukemia. He is freaking awesome. So go support a good cause, win some tickets, win them, sell them. Don't give a damn. But anyway, check that out. We're giving those away in 3 days. 3 days. Go get your entries in now. We'll do a live spin the wheel thing Thursday with Ant on 49ers Cutback. It'd be fun. We'll all celebrate together. I love giving stuff away. Get really, really happy whenever we do. Go check that out. Now, let's get back to the grades. And I want to go to the offensive side. I know this hasn't been really a heavy grades episode, but with the Nick Bosa injury news, I get that. Mac Jones, 80.7. Number one player, Trent Williams, continues to be incredible. 78.5. The film shows Trent is incredible. Ricky Pearsall, third, 75.2. Brian Robinson, only 6 snaps, but amazing pass protection. Jake Brendel got turned around and blocked nobody on a play. Shocker. Jake Brendel sucked, by the way. This was 2023, 2024 Jake Brendel all over again, quitting on plays, blocking for half a count, whatever else. People could talk about no pressures. The reason why he gave up no pressures is because Brian Robinson had to block 2 people on one play, and Jake Brendel blocked 0 on a blitz. It wasn't even a difficult blitz. It was just a stunt, but whatever. Brian Robinson made the best of 6 plays. He needs more time. He needs more plays. He needs more reps. He needs more carries. Brian Robinson needs more. Get this dude the ball. Get this dude the ball. Colton McKivitz tied for 4th, and then Marquez Valdes-Scantling making it happen. The interior offensive line was so bad. Dominique Pooney, lowest graded player. Connor Colby, 2nd lowest graded player. They had a pass protection rating of a 14.1 for Colby and a 28.9 for Pooney. Jake Brendel had a 38 grade pass protection. Horrible interior offensive line. Now, Pooney's not healthy. Connor Colby's not healthy. And Jake Brendel's just bad. Interior offensive line is the biggest concern on this team. Not Bosa, not defensive end. Interior offensive line is the biggest concern on this team. It is number one. That's got to be fixed. Now, once you start getting offensive weapons back, you know, a la George Kittle, DeMarcus Robinson, Brandon Ayuk, like those guys back will make a tremendous difference because now teams have to respect the pass game and the perimeter game a lot more. Yeah, Charlie, we need to draft a center next year. Probably not going to happen. The 49ers have not drafted a center in over a decade. A decade. Marcus Martin was the last center the 49ers drafted, and the 49ers have not drafted a tackle in 4 consecutive drafts, the only team in the NFL to do so. And that is why you're here. And whenever those EPA people tell you, oh, the 49ers actually have a great offensive line, bullshit.
Watch the tape. They had one good game against the Saints. They sucked week one. They sucked week two. You have two quality tackles that are playing great ball. Interior offensive line sucks. It is awful. Doesn't mean it's going to stay awful. I have a lot of faith in Dominic Pooney, but man, he's developing. I hate that Dominic Pooney is close to Jake Brendel because you're starting to see Jake Brendel rub off in a bad way. Waste bending, quitting on plays, getting there for the initial count, and then letting up. Like, that is not in Dominic Pooney's tape at Kansas, and it wasn't in last year's tape. Now it's starting to show its ugly face. Like, I'm kind of worried about it. I don't know if that's a Chris Forrester thing. I know Pooney's not fully healthy, and I love that dude. But I'm telling you right now, getting a little concerned. Now, once Connor Colby's healthy, once Dominic Pooney's healthy, if we see that. But we saw this with Aaron Banks, right? Aaron Banks comes out. First year didn't play. Second year was great. Then just injured. He never was good while he was injured. When Aaron Banks is healthy, he's quality, but he can't play through injuries. I'm not saying that's what Aaron Banks is. I'm just concerned. I am just concerned. My biggest concern is that 49ers interior offensive line. I'm worried about it. Now you get back Brock Purdy, which that's an assumption, but he could kind of skate around and, you know, escape pressures and kind of do some of that stuff. Man, I'm to the point now where, like, dude, if I could trade for any position, I'd trade for a center. I'd take a center over a defensive end right now. Like, you are losing the battle up front continuously in the run game week in and week out because of 64. And put up all the analytics you want. I don't give a damn. 64 is not quality. And you're not paying them quality prices, but you're kind of getting what you pay for. You're paying them $4 million a year. That's good. But nah, man. Just nah. There's nothing that anybody could show me besides tape. And there are some good plays. Like, whenever I was breaking down, we just did the first half. Like, there were three major negative plays by Jake Brendel where he just literally ruined a drive by himself. There was one great block that you got a 10-yard run right off, you know, point of attack. He did great. Probably should have been a holding call, but they didn't call it, but whatever. Like, the amount of negative plays that this guy is putting up in the run game and pass game now is just, I'm sorry, man. I shut up and I even said, like, dude, Jake Brendel played great week two. Nah, bro. Nah. You want hope? Here's your hope. Coaches, blue chip players, schedule. That's your hope. If you're a doomsday, lack of depth, I'm not changing what I've said all freaking season. Lack of depth, Jake Brendel. Lack of depth, Jake Brendel, and relying on young players. It's going to cost you. At some point, hasn't yet. It's come through. And, you know, the 49ers made the chance to get rid of Moody. You would not have won this game if Jake Moody was your kicker. And, right? And that's not me being petty to Jake Moody. It's just the coaching, the front office moved off him after a win. And then you stack another win whenever Eddie P goes out there and is freaking awesome. Thomas Morstead's awesome. You upgraded at kicker and punter, and you moved off one of the most expensive punters and highest drafted punter in the NFL, and you moved off the highest drafted kicker in the NFL, and you got better at both positions. You got better. Also, I will say this, man. Special teams tape, Isaac Grindo is freaking, holding call, missed tackle, blew outside contain, can't return the ball to the 30. That dude, 31, like, he's on, like, cut watch for me. I don't think that they will, but dude, whoever put stock in Isaac Grindo, they were wrong. And I hope that that changes next year. But that dude is bad on every single special teams unit. A lot of positives. Darrell Luter Jr. turned around, who's not, you know, one of the guys that makes me happy. But I would say, man, Darrell Luter made some special teams plays. I was like, what? Is that 28 out there making huge plays? It was. Like, he played great. First half special teams, I thought he did great. Even Chaire Brown keeps growing. There's still some negatives, but that's okay. That's okay. Now, let's see. I want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. But, yeah, it's rough losing one of your best players. Number two on our countdown for most important player this season.
He's gone. Time to step up. Time to step up. Nobody's feeling sorry for the 49ers. You're first place. Nobody feels sorry for the 49ers. You're 3-0. You're first place in the entire NFC if it was today. Make it happen. Why are you going to keep winning? Coaching, blue chip players, schedule. You capitalize on what you control. You don't control injuries. Somebody step up. I'm telling y'all, Sam O, he's not a disruptive player, but I'm telling you, you're going to get quality snaps consistently. Consistently. Fred Warner, about to have the year of all years. Robert Saleh, about to paint his masterpiece. You guys are the best. And shoot, I say it all the time. I mean it more today than I do most days. Stay strong, faithful.